Very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our hosts, Yag Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Erevin Lamed Hay, Erevin 35A, pagination page 69. Towards the bottom of the page, it's like the last third of the page, you'll see at the end of the line in bold the word Masnisen and then the word Nisgalgel. We're dealing with Erev Tuchumen. You're positioning some food in a specific location in order to project your residence to that location so that even though as Shabbos begins you're going to be sitting in the city, but your residence will be considered in the place of your Erev Tuchumen, and like this, your 2,000 amos will not be counted from the city limits, but rather from the place that you projected your location from. So that spot is going to be your place of residence, and you'll be able to reach 2,000 amos from there, places that you wanted to visit that you wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. So the Mishnah says, Nisgalgel chutz l'tchum. What happens if the Eruv that you placed in this location rolled outside of the tchum, outside of the area, so that you can no longer get to it? You simply can't walk that far because it's out of 2,000 amma range. You put a container of peanut butter, and instead of putting it right side up, you put it on its side, and it rolled. Or nafal alav gal, a wall of stones fell upon it so that it's not accessible anymore. O nisraf, or it got burnt, so it doesn't exist anymore. Teruma v'nitmeis mibaod yom, eino eruv. Or teruma that became tame, so it's not edible even for kohanim. If this all happened while it was still day, meaning before the eruv tuchumen kicked in, it takes effect at twilight, so this damage happened before twilight, before sunset, Eino Erev, it's not a good Erev. Mishech HaShecha, but if this damage occurred once it got dark, Hareza Erev, it's an Erev, because as we've been discussing, even if it's only accessible during twilight, that's sufficient for us. Im Safek, if you're not sure, you start walking towards the Erev, and when you get to where you think it's supposed to be, you see that it has rolled distant. Rab Meir and Rab Yehuda Omrim, Rab Meir and Rab Yehuda says, Hareza Chamar Gomal. You end up in the status of a person who's leading a donkey and a camel. The donkey-camel analogy is that a person who's leading a camel walks in front of it. A person who's leading or walking with a donkey walks behind it. And the person who's leading them both is sharing his attention. He's being pulled to the animal in front of him, to the animal behind him. He's trying to get them both walk in concert, and it's very challenging. And that's the status of this person. He doesn't know where his Erev actually is. Is it out of range? And therefore he ends up with his place of residence, the city where he was when Shabbos began. Or was the Erev in its proper place when Shabbos began, and he acquired his location at the place of the Erev, and only later did it roll out? Only later did it get covered or damaged in a way that it doesn't take effect, and he's not sure which one is his true residence. Such a person can only walk in the area which overlaps the two Erevin, but he's not going to benefit to the east, and he's not going to benefit to the west. Okay, let's drop into the Gemara, which is dropping down about seven lines. You'll see in the middle of the line, two dots on each side, Nafal Olav Gal, the case where a pile fell onto the Erev. If you're counting up from the bottom, it's about 11 lines up. Nafal Olav Gal, a wall fell upon it. So what's the problem?
Well, fall apart or what?
Upon the Erev. You put the Erev next to a building, let's say, and it was nice and deserted, and you thought it wouldn't cause you any problems. And then in the middle of this time, a wall fell, the thing caved in on you. Okay. So, not on you, Chas v'Shalom, on the Erev, and you, on your plans. It caved in, rained on your parade. Kosal kadaitach, we thought, di'iboi matzi shakile. If a person wants, he can still access the Erev, because there's no biblical violation. You gotta move the stones. The stones are muktzah. Sounds like it's rabbinic. So lema masnisin de lo karebi. It sounds like it's not like Rebbe. Di karebi, because it's following the ruling of Rebbe. Remember, we did this for a few days now. Rebbe said that if it's in a tree, and that's the only problem. The problem is taking the Erev from the tree. You'd be allowed to take it bein hashmashos, to take the thing out of the tree for the purpose of Erev Tehumin. It would take effect. Ha'omar, he says, kol davar shu mishum shavus lagazur alav bein hashmashos. If something is only a rabbinic thing, so then you could invoke this rule. Lo gazru alav bein hashmashos. It doesn't apply during twilight, and therefore it takes effect. In the same way that an item in a tree would have restriction during Shabbos, but twilight is permitted enough that the Erev Tehumen should take effect, so an item underneath a pile of stones, if it's a mukta issue, it's rabbinic, it also should take effect enough. It should be permitted enough that it could take effect, and your Erev Tehumen is classified as accessible, even if it's not quite accessible. But if you wanted to, you can move one stone at a time until you get to it. So it seems like it's not like Rebbe. Says the Gemara, afilu teima ki Rebbe. You could say it's Rebbe. Lo tzricha. The way to understand this is, deboi mara v'chatzina, it needs tools. Excuse me, it needs a shovel. It needs tools in order to access it. And because it needs tools, so even Rebbe says it's not accessible during twilight, during Bein HaShemashos. So the question, of course, is, so what exactly, just because it needs tools, so the tools are also muktzah, and they should also be permitted enough to allow your Erev Tehumen to kick in. What exactly is the Gemara saying? What's the problem that you need tools? So the Bir Halacha asks this, poses this as a question in general terms. He says, what exactly is the Malacha? What exactly is the problem of removing the stones from on top of the Erev Tehumen? Because again, if it's rabbinic, it should be permitted enough to allow the Erev Tehumen to take effect, even if you're not physically going to remove the stones. So the Bir Halacha has two approaches, and these approaches affect many areas of Halacha. One approach is that breaking into a chest or removing stones that are now in a pile, in a mound, or something like that, the Bir Halacha considers the possibility that all of this is considered soser, removing things, almanas lasakin in a constructive way. In other words, our first reaction is, I'm demolishing stones. Or the real case of the Bir Halacha was there was a chest and you wanted to break into the chest. So it sounds like you're demolishing, which is rabbinic, unless it's for a constructive purpose. I'm demolishing the house in order to rebuild in its location. But you have to clarify, is it demolishing for the sake of demolishing is rabbinic? So the Bir Halacha says that even demolishing could be constructive if the point is to access what's inside. And this would extend itself to consider the case of ripping open an envelope. You're ripping open an envelope to access the letter inside. One can view that as demolishing, and it's rabbinic. And if you were to ask a non-Jew to rip open the letter for a special need, because you think you need to read this letter on Shabbos, so if it's considered rabbinic, you might be allowed to do it through a non-Jew. But according to this calculation in the Bi'ur HaLacha, it's actually constructive. Because even though it's destructive regarding the envelope, but it's constructive in order to access what's inside. And the Bi'ur HaLacha wants us to look, according to this answer, at the entire picture. Is there any element of constructive to it? Or are you just shredding paper? Now, if you're just destructive, that's rabbinic. But if there's a constructive aspect to it, right, we all understand, if you were to rip paper in order to make confetti, that's constructive, even though it could have been destructive. You have to look at the whole picture. The second answer, which is even more fascinating, which we alluded to in last session, is that even though Rebbe is lenient on Shavuos, Bein HaShmashos, and says rabbinic violations at twilight won't stop your Erev Techumen from taking effect, but there are certain cases that are serious enough that the rabbinic law still remains even in twilight. We gave the example yesterday that if you have this specific type of twig that's very, very delicate, and you put your Erev Techumen on top, so then that case, Rebbe agrees, is not accessible. And it could be that that's what the Gemara is saying. If you're going to require a shovel in order to access the Erev Techumen, so even though you're going through it and saying the stones are muktzah, it's rabbinic, and the shovel is muktzah, it's only rabbinic, at a certain point the rabbi said, even during twilight we make our legislation. And if they do, because just this is too much, you need a shovel to get it, so then at that point your Erev Techumen would not work. Yashar Koach, have a great day, wonderful Shabbos.